What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Another week, another episode of Laying the Points as we lead up to the 2024 NFL season. Talking NFL every single week as we prepare. Can't wait. Look forward to this NFL season. I got the Giants Hard Knocks off-season show coming up in early July. Can't wait for that as a Giants fan. And you just feel it, right? Once you get into July, you start feeling like you're 1 month away from preseason action. Apparently, we're like 10 and a half weeks away from the first Sunday of NFL action, red zone and all that. So we are starting the countdown. And I got to say, like, once it hits April, you know, like right before the NFL draft, I know that I miss the NFL. I mean, I can't wait to be done with the NFL by the end of the season because of all the work that goes into it and the stress and, you know, always sweating out the New York Giants and how much they usually suck and Daniel Jones and our bets and our contests and our podcasts and everything we got going on. But it quickly turns into anticipation for the next season. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on the Twitter, or X as it's now called. You can also follow me on Instagram at Farley Betts for a more personalized version of yours truly. And if you haven't heard, if you don't know, you should know. Right now, ladies and gents, we're giving out all of our picks for free. Most of those picks are at sportswagers.ca or sportswagers.live. And I give out picks on a daily basis. And right now in the WNBA, we are 18-6 for plus 25.29 units. I think it's 0.29. It's over 25 units. 18-6, not bad, I must say. What is that? That's a 75% hit rate, I believe. Yeah, because it's 3/4. It's 6 times 4 is 24, 6 times 3 is 18, right? Yeah. So 75% hit rate, over 25 units. We will talk the WNBA slate coming up tomorrow, Thursday, June 27th, where we're leaning on that WNBA slate. We'll talk about that in this show. Look out for free picks at Sports Wagers, but also check out sportmoney.com. I write for sportmoney.com 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, giving out WNBA picks, tennis picks. We'll talk NFL in the future. It's a free newsletter, and it's like one paragraph that we all write about every pick. You know, they're not always my official picks, but they're at least my leans and suggestions as the United States of America consumes and continues to consume even more sports betting. And of course, I have thoughts. Even if I don't have official bets, I have thoughts and analysis every day. So check us out at sportmoney.com as well. You can subscribe to the newsletter for free. You'll have to start paying in the fall when the NFL comes around, but it'll be a very low cost. Something to consider as we gain more elite handicappers over there and writers. And it's a great presentation, easy to read every single day from Sport Money. So check out sportmoney.com as well. That's all the advertising I'm doing because we're going to get to it today. We got to talk NFL top 10 betting tips from me to you on how to have a profitable NFL season coming up, coming at you. And then we'll get into some WNBA suggestions, leans, a handicapper's analysis, someone who's gone 18-6 so far, if you will, for tomorrow's slate following that. Let's get to it. Okay, when you talk about the NFL, all right, I'm probably going to say things in my top 10 tips. I'm probably going to say things that you probably won't hear in many other places because I'm thinking about things holistically, right? Not only in my handicapping, but in my own personal health and the way that I personally and subjectively approach it. So this is a lot of Chris Farley, Farley Betts mantra. You know, it's my ideology. It's my MO, the things I'm about to tell you. It's worked for me. You might have heard 2021 Circa winner. You might have heard 100 units won over the last 3 seasons in the NFL. Around there, it's like 93, something like that. We do pretty well in the NFL. And I love the NFL more than any other sport. And I take it more seriously than any other sport when it comes to handicapping because you have to. Because the smartest sports bettors in the world are moving these lines in the NFL every single day. and every single week during the NFL season. But it's actually every single day, right? Because you think about Sunday, right after the games are over, you think about Monday morning, these lines are shifting. The NFL is its own puzzle. It's its own art form. And over the years, as we've learned, we've had some incredible times and we've had some down times for sure. We live, we learn, and we start to accrue these lessons that we know are going to at least help us win more. I'm not going to guarantee that you win all the time, but you have to stick to some kind of formula, right? So these are my top 10 tips on profitable NFL betting. And let's start with number 10, which could easily be number one, and that's recognizing your mental health. I know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, call 1-800-GAMBLING-ADDICT. Like, I'm not here to tell you about that, okay? There are services out there. I think probably most of America is addicted to sports betting, like the sports bettors who are putting their money down probably have no idea what they're doing for the most part, and they probably bet it anyway, and they probably don't have a lot of control, right? They're just going to do it no matter what. It's a hobby. Sometimes they win. Sometimes they tell the wife or the husband about their wins. Many other times they probably hide the fact that they're losing. And in the NFL, it can quickly get away from you. Why? Because it's so easy to get wrapped up into the NFL. It is the most popular sport by far, especially here in America. It's the sport that has the most money in it, right? Not only betting wise, but the best production value, right? You get red zone every week, Monday night football, Sunday night, Thursday night. It's a part of our culture. It's competitive, right? As a sports bettor, you're competing with others. You're competing with yourself. You're competing with other cities as a fan. It's wildly entertaining. It's wildly unpredictable. You need time. If you're handicapping the NFL on a serious basis, you need time set aside. And when I say you need time, you also have to get good sleeps, take care of yourself, eat right, you know, go to the gym, take care of your family, spend time with your family. But create time, real considerable time, to evaluate these teams week to week, and especially before the season, to evaluate these teams and prepare for these teams the right way so that you go into it with a good bit of knowledge. You know, like I have some things written down here, like it's important to actually ignore the NFL, right? Like treat it like a discipline. Don't treat it like the mega entertaining sport that everybody else does. Treat it like a discipline, like the stock market and an objective reality. Right? Because that's what it is, right? It's a marketplace. And it's really hard to eliminate bias in the NFL because we're all so passionate about it. But the best that you can eliminate that bias, or the best you can, the better for you. But I say things like prioritize family, prioritize your other gigs, your job, your 9-to-5. I say that keeping in mind, do that once you know the NFL first. So first you got to know, like you got to know what the hell you're doing, right? You can't ignore the NFL, prioritize family, prioritize your jobs, eat well, sleep well, work out. You can't focus on those things necessarily if you don't know what the hell you're doing in the NFL, okay? So prepare well and then take care of yourself. Throughout the season, some of the best sports bettors that I know, I'm not going to drop names on here because I don't know if they'd want me to, but these are guys, mostly guys who they're very good at it. And sometimes I'll ask them about, hey man, you watching this game right now? It's crazy. And you know, they're like, nah, I'm at the supermarket. Nah, I'm out to dinner with the family. And I'm like, what? you bet all this money. You're a public NFL handicapper and you're just at dinner. You're not watching this game. And it's because they have an objective, cold, almost cold, right? It's like a distance from the NFL. When you get to that point where you know it really well and you can separate your emotions, your passions from your handicapping, that's when you're going to really start to succeed. I learned that the hard way before, but now I know better. Number 9, consider the psychology. You'll hear me talk about this a lot. I think to some, like especially your heavy data modelers types, they might be rolling their eyes when they hear this. But psychology is a science. Right? These are facts. These are science that we study and we know. This is groups and individuals that are behaving in certain ways, and those ways create patterns, right? Just like historical data, it's not entirely accurate or dependable always, right? Like history doesn't always repeat itself. But unlike data, inspecting the psychology behind why something is happening can reveal deeper truths, right? Like consider this. Kirk Cousins has only been to one playoff game his whole career. So has Daniel Jones. But if you consider that fact that Kirk Cousins is inexperienced in the playoffs, the psychology of that, maybe that makes a difference depending on who he faces if and when they get to the playoffs. For Kirk, right? Maybe he's going to be a little shook. We've seen him be shook before under the bright lights. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they always start slow early in the season. Is that going to change, or are we going to keep on seeing that? They have a very easy schedule, or pretty easy schedule at the start of their season this season, so there's really no excuse to not go at least like 4-2 based on what I'm seeing, but they start slow. The Cowboys late in the playoffs, Dak under pressure, not good, not a good look. They usually foil. But the Cowboys in season, right? Dallas Cowboys, the big star on their helmets on the field, not always facing very tough competition. Oh, the Cowboys can absolutely blow teams out. We also see that all the time. What's going on there psychologically? Is that a Dak thing? Is that a Dak and Mike McCarthy thing? Is that a Mike McCarthy not preparing them well enough? Is it the stigma or the allure of the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, how big their brand is? I do think that they are the most profitable or the most valuable sports franchise in the world. I think that's still true. The Dallas Cowboys of the United States of America, of Dallas, Texas. A lot of tradition there. Does that tradition and that pressure get to them to where they kind of capitulate in these big game situations? What about the Ravens and John Harbaugh and his commitment to the run game? Old school coach, right? Hard-nosed coach. Doesn't change his ways very easily. Statistics, sure, but we need context, right? Like we know in psychology that motivation and momentum literally change your performance, right? Like it's a fact. We've seen it that when somebody has extra motivation or momentum or both, they can outperform expectations vastly. Right, on a momentous level, just because they're hyper-motivated. We know that leadership is not equal. Like, people want to shrug and roll their eyes maybe about leadership. Are you telling me it's not a thing? Are you telling me that Tom Brady and Philip Rivers were on the same page, the same level of leadership? Maybe the fact that Tom Brady won so much and Philip Rivers had so many talented rosters and did not win very often, especially in the postseason. Maybe that has something to do with leadership. Philip Rivers, hyper-Christian, a lot of kids. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe other players couldn't relate. Maybe they could relate a lot more to someone like Tom Brady. Leadership is influence. Dissecting and analyzing the best leaders in the NFL is a big part of quarterback play and just great football play in general, offense and defense. How about clutch factors? Eli Manning, is he a he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but is he a Hall of Fame quarterback based on his stats? Probably not. Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback based on 2 Super Bowl wins and 2 Super Bowl MVPs? Yeah. And that's because he was great in the clutch in many situations when he was in his prime. Joe Burrow, very good in the clutch. Only guy that can really take down Mahomes. Mahomes, really good in the clutch. The stats aren't always there. Like if you were looking at Patrick Mahomes' stats the last few seasons, you might be like, oh, he's pretty good. I mean, he's above average for sure, but is he elite? Is he the best? Meh. But what does Mahomes do in the fourth quarter? The Chiefs are down 10, 14, 17 points. Are you counting them out of the game? I don't think so. Clutch. Justin Fields in the clutch. Doesn't really know what to do. Jalen Hurts in the clutch. I put him right in the middle. Kind of good, kind of needs help sometimes. I think he needs quality coaching. He's not a pure thrower. He's a tough guy, but clutch throwing. So consider the psychology when you're observing and watching these teams. Literally treat it like a soap opera somewhat. Look at their personalities. Watch their personalities. Watch the way they interact with others. That also can inform the way you bet. Because when these big games come up especially, or maybe those low-profile games, right? What are they going to look like? What are those influential leaders and players on the field, and what is the team going to respond and look like? How are they going to respond? What are they going to look like? A lot of that is group dynamics, sociological phenomena, and psychological factors. Number 8, hunt for unders. That's literally all that I have written down here. Hunt for unders. We know that the NFL and its leadership and the, you know, folks that vote on shit in the NFL, they want to push for more offense. That's the entertaining thing, right? You can't hit the quarterback in certain ways now. You can't hit the ball carrier in certain ways now. They changed the kickoff rule again. We're going to have more kickoffs now, probably more kickoff returns for touchdowns, probably better field position. The NFL likes overs. They like points. They like offense. Hunt for unders. This is especially true in fantasy. Those lines, those numbers are going to be inflated nice and early in the season too, based on very presumptuous projections. Hunt for unders early. And most of the time, of course, this is not an end-all, be-all, fail-safe method. But you hunt for unders when those totals in a game or totals for a fantasy prop look a little high. You're probably going to win more than you lose, especially early in the season before the sports books adjust. Number 7, wait until week 8 to raise your level of confidence. You don't have to bet 3 and 4 unit plays in week 2, week 3, week 4. Sometimes there are great opportunities. I'm not saying not to do that. You know, you have your veteran, legendary bettors out there, right? Guys who are extremely good at this. They might bet 3, 4, 5 units in week 4, in week 2. Okay. But for you, the common bettor, don't overbet. Don't put too much money down early in the season. It takes a good half of season to even see what these teams are going to be like, right? To even see what their injury situations are like, what the rest of their schedule is going to present based on how the other teams are, right? We think we know who those other teams are right now, but we'll know better about their opponents halfway through the season as well. New players on new teams, how are those adjustments going to happen? Like, are they going to settle in? Is it going to be a high chemistry situation, fluid, symbiotic, or is it going to be clunky like the Saints last season, right? I thought Derek Carr and the Saints were going to roll, baby. Derek Carr, Southern Christian boy. I don't know if he's Southern, but he's Christian. I thought he would just be a great fit in Nollins, you know, defensive coach, and he came over there with a lot of veteran experience. That was a clunky-ass presentation last year. I'm not sure if it's going to get any better this year. But point is, wait a little bit into the season to raise that level of confidence in your bets, both the amount of money you put down and the amount of bets that you make. Number 6, remember that in the NFL, every game counts. This is not the NBA. Like I talked about motivation before, motivation is damn near ever present in the NFL because at first, every team thinks they have a chance at the Super Bowl. At first, every team thinks they can at least get to the playoffs. Every team knows they have a shot, right? And there are only 17 games, so every week matters. So the motivation is going to be there. And sure, you have your outliers, right? There are like occasional players that don't really care. But unless it's the quarterback, it's not going to affect the game that much. Now, the motivation becomes more individualistic if halfway, three-fourths through the season, your team sucks, right? I mean, then maybe you want to just play for yourself and your future contracts. Or maybe the motivation is still there because there's a rivalry game, right? And you can knock someone out of the playoffs. Just recognize that football is different, right? These are athletes that are getting hit hard. It's hard on the body. It's a sport that is rarely practice without passion. You know, these NBA players, I use that as a great example because let's face it, like sociologically, right? A lot of these kids, they come from rough situations, they get to the NBA. The NBA overpays their players, in my opinion. You know, you got guys who are maybe the fourth best guy on your team and they're making 60, 70 million in their contracts. They got it made, right? Like, look at DeAndre Ayton. You think DeAndre Ayton, number one draft pick up there with Portland now? I don't think he cares that much. He's rich. He's beyond rich. He's playing video games. He's chilling. Apparently, there was an ice storm during the season and he just stayed home. That's the NBA. Okay. That's not the NFL. For the most part, that is not the NFL. And yes, you got some guys like Antonio Brown who just walks out of a game, you know, doesn't care. I mean, he's got mental problems. Okay. But for the most part, football players care. And you have to care because your body's getting hit. Like if you're out there playing half ass, you're going to get injured. If you're a football player, you know that. So every game counts for the most part. And don't treat the NFL motivationally like you do other sports. All right, top five tips here. And these are going to get pretty important. Pay attention. Number five, track your data. This is a big one. Track your bets against the spread. Track the teams that you're betting. Track the totals that you bet. Track how many times you bet on underdogs versus the favorite. Track how many times you bet around key numbers. Just track your bets. The more you track your bets, the more you'll pick up on your own patterns of behavior. Because let me tell you, if there's one thing that I've learned over the course of the last 5 years as a pro bettor, it's that as much as the bet itself is about the teams playing, it's just as much about you as the bettor. Again, going back to that number 10, could be number one, take care of yourself. How clearly are you thinking? How smart is this bet? How much are you putting on it? Why are you putting that amount on it? How many times have you bet on this team or this total in this situation? Track your bets so that you can see your own tendencies and so that you can move towards tendencies that are smarter, sharper, and better for your bankroll, right? More manageable for your bankroll. Number four, power ratings matter. And it isn't all data, right? You talk about or we hear about models in the industry a lot now. A lot of guys, I think it's kind of considered like you kind of have to have a model, right? Everybody has a model per se, but these, you know, data models are churning out numbers for these handicappers, pointing them in a direction or telling them directly how to bet. But how do you get to your power ratings, right? Like if you do power ratings, how do you get there? Is it just modeling and data? Because last time I checked, data, right? The only way that there can be data is because it's based off of something that already happened, but it's based off of something that happened in the past, right? And the past doesn't always repeat itself. Sometimes it does. But sitting down, observing, watching, and creating power ratings that make sense, not just based on your model and the data, but also the context of what's involved, right? Like I would hope that nobody exclusively relies on data. And I would hope that you don't completely ignore data. You can't do either one of those things. Modeling, I think, is probably better with fantasy, right? Fantasy heads out there talk a lot about their, you know, projections, amount of touches, amount of catches, you know, per game, all that stuff, situational, you know, defenses, offenses, how they kind of match up. A lot of that stuff can pertain to betting as well. But especially in a sport like football, developing power ratings is about more than data, right? And we'll get into what it's mostly about in these next three. Focus on the QB, number three. Focus on the quarterback. No single individual is more important in your NFL bets than the quarterback. How will Jalen Hurts do with a new-look offense? He's got Saquon. He's got Paris Campbell. But he doesn't have Jason Kelce. Has a new offensive coordinator, too. Will Brock Purdy light the NFL on fire in year three? Because this is usually the time where a quarterback like Brock Purdy we've seen him play really well. This is usually the time where we see some real, like, you know, if he's going to surge, he's going to surge now. Are we going to see that? Or is the brutal schedule that the 49ers have, not just in their opponents, but the brutal schedule as far as the travel spots, right? Like all the moving around during the season, all the away games at really tough times. Is Brock Purdy going to do well in that situation in year three? Those two things kind of compete against each other. Will Joe Burrow and the Bengals start slow again? What will change, if anything, for Deshaun Watson to believe that the Browns are going to get better, that he's going to get better with the Browns? What will change for a lighter Lamar Jackson, who just added Derrick Henry, right? Ravens now have a power back in Derrick Henry. Are they going to move away from him? I mean, they've already talked about this a little bit, moving away from Lamar Jackson QB sneaks because he lost weight. He's a thinner, probably even faster, which is scary, but he's thinner. I'm not sure how he's going to be taking those hits the same way if he's even thinner, but now they have Derrick Henry. How does that affect Lamar Jackson and his ability to lead his team to success? How will Dak Prescott play if he gets a new contract or if he does not get a new contract? How will Daniel Jones play in a prove it year? Put up or shut up now, Daniel. How will Geno Smith perform with a new coach and a new offensive coordinator? Geno Smith has seen a lot. He's seen a lot in his career. But it's a lot of brand new. A lot of brand new for the Seahawks organization, right? Pete Carroll was the most significant part of their culture for the last decade plus. Jordan Love, year two. Of course, he's been in the league more than 2 years, but this is his second year starting. What's that going to look like? Focus on the quarterback first. Forget all the other shit. Obviously, a lot of other factors matter, okay? But if your quarterback, if the prospective situation, or if their perspective seems negative or positive, you know, whatever the quarterback, how they are positioned is the most important thing in this league. Let's go even deeper, number two. Focus on the quarterback and the coach and how they work together or how they don't. The best teams in the NFL, the Super Bowl winning teams, typically, like very, very often, have symbiotic, complementary relationships between quarterback and coach. They don't need to get along, right? Like, we don't know how well Tom Brady and Bill Belichick got along, but it needs to be complementary, respectful, symbiotic. The most dangerous against the spread combination is a coach and a quarterback that understand each other. Look at Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right? It's the quintessential example. But we might see it in some other situations, right? Now, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff certainly ascending. They get each other. They get the grit, right? He loves the way Jared Goff has responded since he left the Rams and came over to Detroit, a second chance. What about Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Is Bo Nix the new Sean Payton and Drew Brees? Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. What is that relationship like? I can't get a really strong hold for it just yet, but I think Doug Peterson is a really good coach, and Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick and the most sought after or the most anticipated number one pick in a long time. There's a lot of positive there. Are they going to figure that out? Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, Brock Purdy and Shanahan. There's some great combinations in this league. But there are some combinations where I think they get in each other's way. Yeah, just a little bit. Eagles. Okay. And finally, last but not least, my legendary betting friends are going to love this one. Number one, it's about the market. All right? You could not watch a single NFL game. Just follow the market all season, and you could win. Don't do any introspection. Don't do any inspection into these teams. Just watch the market. Remember that the smartest bettors in the world are betting the NFL. So when lines move, when things get adjusted, especially when they get massively adjusted, it kind of matters. Betting early, getting that CLV. But again, there's that caveat, right? How sharp are your power ratings? How much time have you given to analyze these teams? That's still in there, especially if you're betting early, right? Because if you're betting early, it is about the market, but it's about both, right? You have to have some understanding of these teams. I guess I'm kind of contradicting what I just said. You could watch the market and just the market alone, understand the NFL market, and you could have a successful NFL season. But you combine all these things together and you have a tight grasp on the NFL market. Now you're really putting yourself in the best position possible. Let's take an example like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last year, week one, 4.5-point underdogs at Minnesota in week one, and they won straight up. Then they went again in week two at home against Chicago. Then in week three, because the Eagles were struggling early, Tampa Bay is just a 4.5-point home underdog on Monday Night Football. Philly whoops them. Tampa Bay goes on to lose 6 of their next 8 games. They're a slight favorite in week 10 against the Titans. They crushed the Titans by 14. Then they win 5 of their last 6. They win 5 of the last 6 in their schedule, an easy schedule. They whoop Jacksonville as a 1.5-point underdog at home in week 16. And they go on to crush the Eagles in the wild card round. If you were watching the market on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all last season, you would have seen a lot of volatility, but not as much volatility as you might think. The market always stayed somewhere in between a good team and an average team with the Tampa Bay Bucs. You know, it started off as a below average team from their perception, for sure. And then it grew a little bit, average, below average, average, slightly above average, right? Like the market didn't adjust as much as those surges you would have thought would have made it adjust, right? Even though they lost 6 of their next 8 games right there after week 3, even though they won 5 of their last 6, the market, it's amazing how little the market can adjust in some of those situations. Pay attention to that, because the market is telling you something about the team that it feels strongly about. And when we say the market, we're talking about odds makers. And of course, we're talking about those syndicates and those big bettors who are putting their money on the line right away, putting their position in and forcing the sports books and odds makers to adjust. Right? The market is a representation of the smartest NFL bettors in the world and their combined perception. That's what it is. It's a perception. And that's why, again, having your own power ratings, focusing on the QB and coach, focusing on the QB alone, tracking your data, considering psychology, all these things, and considering your mental health matter. But all of it together, if you're doing that all right, then you're able to view the market with a clean mind, with a great background, a great foundation. And hopefully you can match those perceptions that are out there and you could say that's wrong or that's right. And when it's wrong, that's when you move. That's when you make your bet. Or when you think it's just off, right? So many points. Like if you think the total should be 52 and the total is 48.5, I would say that's a reasonable reason. that's a reasonable position to be in. Like you should probably bet the over. If you think the total is at 50 and it's at 48.5, maybe you think otherwise. I hope those 10 betting tips helped out for your prospective NFL seasons. I've given this a lot of thought over the last 5 years, and every single one of them matter. Let's move on to some WNBA free leans. All right, I've got some notes written down here, and I'm just going to peruse through every game quickly. Again, 18-6, over 25 units this season, this summer in the WNBA. Feel confident, but I do not love this slate. I know it's 4 games. Like, it's tough. This is the second day this week, which is tomorrow, Thursday. It's only going to be the second day this week that there are even any WNBA games, right? So you're going to want to bet this, right? You're going to want to bet these WNBA games. Four games on the slate. There's only one game on Tuesday, but that doesn't mean you have to. The Lynx and the Wings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This one's tough because the Lynx are way better than the Wings. I mean, the Wings look terrible, 11th in net rating this season. You know, just a bad program, and they look to be descending, if anything, like regressing. But the Lynx just got off a really seminal, like a great win for them, right? They beat the Liberty in New York for the Commissioner's Cup. And now they're 10-point favorites. I kind of want to take Dallas early in this one, like the first quarter. I mean, it's at Dallas. Tight road travel spot for the Lynx. New York now onto Dallas in 2 days. I don't know how much they're focusing on the Wings, right? Because they're probably celebrating a little bit. I can only look to the Wings in this game, but man, not an easy maneuver when you got, like, I don't want to bet on the Wings ever, you know, but I mean, here we are. Also lean to the under 161.5 is what I'm seeing now. You know, maybe like a less motivated Lynx team, a Dallas Wings team that can't score anyway. So I might look at the Wings in the first quarter, might look at the under. Those are my leans right now. Aces and Sky. Sky also coming off a big win, beating the Fever at home on Sunday. Angel Reese playing really brilliant basketball in the fourth quarter. A lot of tenacity in that girl. You know, she's not always that likable, but I mean, she can play some basketball. And she's pretty fierce. And but now the Sky at home, they started off as 8-point underdogs. Now they're up to 10.5-point underdogs. That might be a little too much for me. I thought about taking the Aces at 8. Didn't think it was going to blow up this much, but I do think the Aces are going to handle this guy in this game. You know, Aces won 2 games in a row now after starting off 6-6. Didn't look that good, but they still have the best player in the W, AJ Wilson, 28 points per game and 12 rebounds per game. Like, what are you kidding me? That's like Shaquille O'Neal kind of stuff. And I think she should probably take it personally going up against Angel Reese and this front court of the Sky that's amped up and motivated right now. So I like AJ Wilson props. I like the Aces in this one, but might be getting a little too inflated. I would only look at overs in this game too. The Sky just tend to chase the other team when they're outmatched, and they will be outmatched offensively in this one. This is a really gross game that I haven't given a lot of thought yet because these are two teams who are just really different. The Connecticut Sun, 13-3, a defensive team. They just don't have that go-to scorer on their team. They're a really good team, you know, up until this point, but they don't have that go-to score. And the Mystics, for as poor as they are, you know, record-wise, I think they're, what, 4-12 or something? I don't know the Mystics record offhand, but they're one of the worst teams in the WNBA. But lately, scoring more points, playing at a faster pace, and this total is at 153.5. So the Mystics are at home. Who's going to control this game? Is it the Mystics or the Sun? The Sun are the better team. That's usually who controls it. But the Mystics are at home. I could see them surprising the Sun here. So I got to check their previous matchups. I haven't really done that yet, but competing thoughts here in that game as well. I would lean over. I do think that the Mystics can affect this game. And we've seen the Sun get caught when they can't keep up with a team that has a pretty good offense. And the, you know, Mystics, pretty good offense lately. I mean, they're scoring some points. You know, haven't faced a team like the Sun, but over 153.5, probably the right way to go. I'm not there yet. And then there's the Storm and the Fever. Storm are at home. Indiana Fever off that loss going up to Seattle. The market is telling us some interesting things in this one. Caitlin Clark's prop or point prop is going down. It was at 17.5. Now a lot of books is at 16.5. I mean, this is a girl who scored 21 and 20 points against the Storm in the past. You know, she's looked a lot better, a lot of assists, a lot of points in recent games, and the Fever are responding, right? This is a, seems like a high chemistry team that's building from all the Caitlin Clark drama, right? They're kind of going through that adversity and coming out together, which is a great thing. I mean, the Fever would be a playoff team as of the other day if the season ended today. I don't know if that's true now, but there's a lot to like about the Fever right now. 8 points is a lot. But it is at Seattle. You know, Seattle just got a really good win the other night, I believe. Let me check on that because I might be talking at my ass. Let's see here. Storm. Yeah, Storm played. I knew that because I bet on it. On Sunday, they faced the Sun. They beat them straight up. That's something that we bet on. So this is, I don't know, this is kind of a down spot for the Storm potentially, but it is Caitlin Clark. But it's also the third time they've seen them, right? So it's not like this is anything new. They do get to stay home. The Storm are staying home until for like nearly a month. I mean, they're staying home until mid-July. So the Storm are in a very comfortable position. That's, you know, probably part of the reason why this is such a big spread here. I'm not saying the Storm don't deserve it, but it's probably right. I'll just put it that way. This is the right spread. I'll say this, and this is probably something I'll look to bet. Look at recent Fever games, and you'll find that the first quarter is almost always high scoring. They push the pace. They're efficient early, kind of catch teams off guard. Now, Seattle has a really, really good defense. I mean, on Sunday, the first quarter between the Storm and the Sun, I'm bringing it up now, but it was low. 14-8. The Connecticut won the first quarter 14-8 over the Storm, a 22-point first quarter. So it could start really slow. I mean, the Storm are a slower, more defensive team, but I've seen the Fever escalate these games at the beginning of the first quarter, and they do it often. So I might be looking at the over in this one. I could see the Storm, who do have a talented offense. You know, they're top five, efficient team for the most part. They're not on the same level as the Liberty or the Aces, but they can score too. So kind of like an early under in this game. Might look at the total going over in the full game as well. But short story is, I think the spread is right. Total lean over. All right, boys and girls, went a little long this time, definitely over 30 minutes, had a lot to say about the NFL and gave away some WNBA free picks. Thank you, as always, for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We will not be here next week. It's 4th of July week. I know a lot of folks are taking off or they're away. I was going to try and have a guest on, but looks like that's not going to happen next week. So we're going to take off too. No Laying the Points next week, but we will be back in the second week of July. Back talking NFL, and I believe we will start having guests at that point. Also look forward to a roundtable NFL podcast coming in the fall. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, something that you've never heard before in the betting podcast arena. So look forward to that. Follow me at Farley Betts. Follow our WNBA plays right now, if nothing else, because we are on fire. Thank you for listening, everyone. Let's win some damn money. Farley Betts, we are out of here.